Chapter 14, End for Now. In my chapter about joy, I've wrote about the importance of being present in the moment, how we need to stop thinking and analyzing so much, and simply to appreciate what is happening right now. There is much to be said for being still, absorbing the sights and sounds around us, experiencing joy and expressing our gratitude that we can just be. Studies have shown that those who mostly live in the present, rather than recalling the past or imagining the future, are happier and more content with their lives than those who spend most of their time ruminating on either past or the future. However, we cannot use the present moment solely for stillness and quietness. It is also a time for action. Look carefully how you walk, writes Paul to the Ephesians, not as unwise but as wise, making the best use of the time. Chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Although we can learn from the past and be motivated by the future, we have to learn to act now. Since we cannot know what tomorrow holds and we cannot change the past, we should focus our efforts on making the most of today, doing all to the glory of God and giving the present moment our full attention. Whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might, writes the preacher in Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. The reason? There is no working, planning, knowledge, or wisdom in the grave. We know that there cannot be much time left before Christ returns. Will we use the time we have wisely, regularly, replenishing the oil in our lamps to ensure they are burning brightly? Or will we be found sleeping? A little sleep. I passed by the field of a sluggard, by the vineyard of a man lacking sense, and behold, it was all overgrown with thorns. The ground was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. Then I saw and considered it. I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. Proverbs 24, verses 30 to 34. The book of Proverbs is full of warnings against laziness and complacency. Here we read that hard work is much value and that we can only expect to reap a reward if we put in effort now. The soul of a sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. Chapter 13, verse 4. In other words, if you are too lazy to plow, don't expect a harvest. Chapter 20, verse 4. If we see that there is a need to be met, we ought to act now, rather than wait for tomorrow. It is always easier to put something off until tomorrow, yet it will be no easier to take action tomorrow than it would have been today. Therefore, do not say to your neighbor, "Go and come again tomorrow, and I will give it," when you have it with you. Chapter 3, verse 28. Do not waste today or rely on tomorrow, for you do not know what tomorrow will bring. How, then, can we make the best use of our time today and remove obstacles to growth and productivity? Good intentions. How often do you make plans, write lists, and set goals? If you're anything like me, this is an almost daily occurrence. Yet how often do we see these through? The future is just a fantasy unless we use today to set things in motion. We can have all the good intentions in the world, but unless we put them into action, they will amount to nothing. In all toil there is profit, but mere talk tends to poverty. Chapter 14, verse 23. Making plans, being organized, and setting ourselves tasks are all helpful things to do, but will only benefit us if we put in the effort to follow them through. Ask yourself, what one thing can I do today towards X, Y, or Z? Could this be making a phone call, sending an email, making an inquiry, or ordering equipment, or something else entirely? Now go and do it. Procrastination. Have you done it yet? If, like many, you are a procrastinator by nature, it may well be some time before you get around to doing it. In the meantime, you will have found plenty of other, often useful, things to fill your time. A natural inclination to procrastinate does not have to be a negative trait. In fact, procrastination may actually increase productivity. Just think of all the tasks that get completed while you avoid that one job you should be doing. Procrastinators will not use their time effectively if they begin work on a task too long before the deadline. They will simply work more slowly, hit mental blocks, and waste time. Those at the other end of the spectrum, however, work efficiently and thoroughly well ahead of schedule and tend to complete tasks in a logical order. Whichever approach you take to complete tasks, it is important to manage your time well and to spend it doing worthwhile tasks. Few of us can claim that we are using our resources, time, knowledge, skills, possessions, connections, money, to the full. There are likely many things you have thought about doing over the past few months which seemed like a good idea at the time, but you judged them too difficult, too huge, or too time-consuming. Maybe you instead sought out a task which would produce instant results, or for which you would receive recognition and praise. Perhaps the idea seemed doomed to fail, so you didn't even attempt it. Maybe you told yourself, "I'll look into it later," but later never came. More than likely, you did nothing at all. After all, the easiest thing for us to do is that which we are currently doing, which is usually nothing. So what are you putting off? In terms of ecclesia life, this might be organizing an event, joining a committee, offering help, attending an event, visiting someone, removing temptation to sin, renewing good habits. If there is something you could be doing, and there is no valid reason why you are not doing it, then there is no better time to begin than now. If you wait for perfect conditions, you will never get anything done. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 4. We must be proactive in serving God, our families, and our brothers and sisters, prayerfully taking the initiative so that God can give the growth and increase the harvest. One king, two spies. The Bible is full of examples of men and women who did not let the perceived enormity or difficulty of a task prevent them from faithfully seeing it through. As soon as Hezekiah acceded to the throne, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, 2 Chronicles 29, verse 3, he opened the doors of the temple and restored the sacrifices and offerings there. Then, understanding the spirit of the law and not wishing to wait another year until Passover, the king declared that Passover should be kept in the second month. Are we as passionate about renewing our own dedication to God? When we see that our lamp has gone out and that our doors are in a state of despair, do we immediately and urgently take measures to restore our faith? Do we help others to do the same? When sent to spy out the land, Joshua and Caleb returned with a good report, encouraging the people that the land was good and should be taken immediately. Numbers 13, verse 30. And chapter 14, verses 6 to 8. Their faith helped them to see beyond the giants and the strong walls, and they wanted to act now. Does our faith help us to see beyond the difficulties we may face, or are we easily disheartened? Do we have the courage and passion to act now, or are we always putting things off, waiting for the right conditions, which may never materialize? Where do I start? Whether you are one of those people who looks down their to-do list for the day with a sense of overwhelming dread and dismay, or someone who is motivated and energized to know that they have a very productive day ahead of them, one thing is certain. Once momentum kicks in, it will keep you moving forward. Many people, especially procrastinators, find it helpful to start the day with a small, easy task and then to complete tasks in an order that appeals to them. The important jobs will still get done, but so will many others. It can be helpful to prioritize each task on your to-do list. For example, the following number system can be used quickly to annotate your list and thus determine which tasks should ideally be completed first in order to make the most of the time available. This will probably appeal the most to those who have a tendency to approach tasks in a more ordered way. Manage your goals. Breaking up tasks into more manageable chunks, which can be implemented straight away, is vital if we are to stay focused and motivated. Without short and medium-term goals, we can easily feel paralyzed because the ultimate goal appears impossibly difficult to reach. Spend some time thinking about your own goals, remembering to make them SMART. S, specific, significant, stretching. M, measurable, meaningful, motivational. A, attainable, acceptable, action-oriented. R, realistic, relevant, results-oriented. T, time-bound, tangible, trackable. Now take a look at the graph below. You may find it useful to create a target chart like this for yourself. In each of the inner segments, write one of your long-term goals and give it a rating of 1 to 10, according to how important that goal is to you. In the next segment, write the first step you will take towards each goal along with a deadline within 1 week. The next segment contains a more medium-term goal with a deadline, and the outer segment is what your goal will look like when it has been achieved, along with an ideal deadline. This proved particularly helpful to me when I was stuck in a rut, helping me to make decisions about what I would do with my life and how I could best use the resources and skills God had given me. It gave me the motivation and vision to get off the starting block and to make much better use of my time. I've never looked back. Do all to the glory of God. Whatever we turn our hand to today, we know that we labor in vain unless we have the right attitude and motive. Doing nothing out of selfish ambition or pride, Philippians 2 verse 3. We should rather seek to give God the glory in everything we do, putting love at the heart of our actions. He has called us to serve Him with all our might, making the most of the time left to us, and He desires a response today, not tomorrow or next week. In the words of Hymn 396, "Now is the time to serve the Lord, to do His will, to learn His word. In death there is no power to know, far less in wisdom's way to go. So what are you waiting for?" Questions and suggestions. 1. What are you putting off until tomorrow, which could be done today? 2. Why are you putting it off? Is your reasoning valid? 3. Put down this book, go and do it.